Santan was perched on the foot of the lowest bunk in her favourite ward on C deck. She had the book open on her lap. It was one of the larger cabins, with 8 bunks, and all the young men in the bunks were spinals. Not one of them would ever walk again, and almost in defiance of this fact, they were the noisiest, gayest, and most opinionated bunch on board the prettier castle. Every evening during the hour before lights out, Santan read to them, or that was the intention. It usually only required a few minutes of the author's opinions to trigger a spirited debate which ran unchecked, until the dinner gong finally intervened. Santan enjoyed these sessions as much as any of them, and she invariably chose a book on a subject about which she wanted to know more, always an African theme. This evening she had selected Volume 2, Le Vaillant's Voyage dans l'intérieur de l'Afrique, in the original French. She translated directly from the page of Le Vaillant's description of a hippopotamus hunt, which her audience followed avidly until she reached the description. The female beast was flayed and cut up on the spot. I ordered a bowl to be brought me, which I filled with her milk. It appears to be much less disagreeable than that of the elephant, and the next day had changed almost wholly to cream. It had an amphibious taste, and a filthy smell, which gave disgust. But in coffee it was even pleasant. There were cries of revulsion from the bunks. My God! Somebody exclaimed. Those Frenchies! Anybody who will drink hippo milk and eat frogs! Instantly they all turned upon him. Sunshine is a Frenchie, you dog. Apologize immediately. And a barrage of pillows were hurled across the cabin at the offender. Laughing, Santan jumped up to restore order. And as she did so, the deck buckled under her feet, and she was hurled backwards onto the bunk again, and the blast of a massive explosion ripped through the ship. Santan struggled up and was knocked down again by another explosion more violent than the first. What is happening? She screamed, and a third explosion plunged them into darkness, and threw her from the bunk onto the deck. In the utter darkness, somebody tumbled on top of her, pinning her in a welter of bedclothes. She felt herself suffocating, and she screamed again. The ship rang to other cries and shouts, "Get off me!" Santan fought to free herself, crawled to the doorway, and pulled herself upright. The pandemonium all around her, the rush of bodies in the dark, the shouts and senseless bawling of orders, the sudden terrifying tilt of the deck under Santan's feet, panicked her. She lashed out to protect herself as an unseen body crashed into her and then groped her way down the long, narrow corridor. The alarm bells began to ring through the darkness, a shrill, nerve-ripping sound that added to the confusion, and a voice roared, "The ship is sinking! They're abandoning ship! We'd be trapped down here!" There was an immediate rush to the companionway, and Santan found herself borne along, helplessly, fighting to keep her balance, for she knew if she fell, she would be trampled. Instinctively she tried to protect her belly, but she was sent reeling into the bulkhead with a force that clashed her teeth, and she bit her own tongue. As she fell, her mouth filled with a sick metallic taste of blood. She flung out both hands, and they closed on the guide rail of the companionway, and she hung on with all her strength. She dragged herself up the staircase, sobbing with the effort to keep her feet in the crush of panic-stricken bodies. "My baby!" she heard herself saying it aloud. "You can't kill my baby!" The ship lurched, and there was the crackle and shriek of metal on metal, the crash of breaking glass, and the renewed rush and trample of feet all around her. "It's going down!" shrieked a voice beside her. "We've got to get out! Let me out!" The lights went on again, and she saw the companionway to the upper deck choked with struggling, cursing men. She felt bruised and crushed and helpless. "My baby!" she sobbed as she was pinned against the bulkhead. The lights seemed to sober the men around her, slamming them out of their blind terror. "Here, sunshine!" a voice bellowed. It was a big Afrikaner, one of her most fervent admirers, and he swung his crutch to forge an opening for her. "Let her through! Stand back, you bastards! Let sunshine through!" Hands seized her, and she was lifted off her feet. "Let sunshine through!" They passed her overhead like a doll. She lost her veil and one of her shoes. "Here, sunshine, pass her up!" She found herself sobbing. She was jostled, and hard fingers seized her and bit painfully into her flesh, but she was borne swiftly upwards. At the top of the companionway, other hands grabbed her and hustled her out to the open deck. It was dark out here, and the wind snatched at her hair and wrapped her skirts constrictingly about her legs. The deck was listing heavily, but as she stepped upon it, it canted even more viciously, and she was hurled against a stanchion with a force that made her cry out. Suddenly, she thought about the helplessly maimed young men that she had left down there on sea deck. "I should have tried to help them," she told herself. And then she thought of Anna. Hesitating and confused, she looked back. Men still swarmed up and out of the companionways. It would be impossible to move against that throng, and she knew that she did not have the strength needed to assist a man who could not walk himself. All around her the officers were trying to restore order, but most of these men who had stoically borne the hell of the trenches were terrified witless by the thought of being trapped in a sinking ship, and their faces were contorted and their eyes wild with unreasoning terror. However, there were others who were dragging out the cripples and the blind and leading them to the lifeboats along the rail. Clinging to the stanchion, San Tan was torn with indecision and fear and horror for the hundreds of men below who knew they would never reach the deck. Then beneath her, the ship rumbled and belched in its death throes. Air rushed from the holds beneath her waterline with the roarings of a sea monster, and the sound decided San Tan. "My baby," she thought. "I have to save him. The others don't matter. Only my baby." "Sunshine!" One of the officers had seen her, and he slid down the steep deck to her and put an arm around her protectively. "You've got to get a lifeboat. The ship will go at any moment." With his free hand, he ripped open the tapes that secured his bulky canvas life jacket, and he pulled it off his shoulders and lifted it over Santan's head. "What happened?" San Tan gasped as he knotted the tapes of the life jacket under her chin and down her chest. "We've been torpedoed. Come on!" He dragged her along with him, reaching for handholds, for it was impossible to stand unaided on the steep angle of the deck. "That lifeboat! We've got to get you into it!" Just ahead of them, a crowded lifeboat was swinging wildly on its davits. An officer was bellowing orders as they tried to clear the jammed tackle. Looking down the ship's side, San Tan saw the black sea boiling and foaming, and the wind blew her hair into her face and half blinded her. Then, from far out on the black waters, a solid white shaft of light burst over them, and they flung up their hands to protect their eyes from the cruel glare. "Submarine!" shouted the officer who held San Tan in the crook of his arm. "The swine has come to gloat on his butchery!" The beam of light left them and swiveled away down the side of the hull. "Come on, sunshine!" He dragged her towards the ship's rail, but at that moment the tackle of the lifeboat gave way at the bows and spilled its frantic cargo screaming into the pounding waves far below. With yet another vast exhalation of air from her underwater wounds, the ship swung further outwards to an impossible angle, and San Tan and the officer slid irresistibly across the deck and hit the rail together. The merciless beam of white light moved from one end of the ship to the other, and when it passed over them, it left them blinded. And it seemed the night was even blacker and more menacing than before. "The swines! The bloody swines!" The officer's voice was rough and hoarse with rage. "We must jump!" San Tan shouted back at him. "We have to get off!"